It's something that I hear often. In fact, last week I actually heard several teachings on this very verse of Scripture, but they left out the second verse, and I don't know why they do that, but it just seems like you have to read the next one to see. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And that was where three different programs that I heard on the radio, that's where they left off. Oh, God is so deep. You'll never be able to understand anything. You're just going to have to take it at face value and trust him. And on and on and on they went. You just can't see the things that God is doing. Your ears won't hear what he's saying. And neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. And so they leave you in a mystery. And I don't want to leave anyone in a mystery, and God doesn't either, because read the next verse. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. Paul so often prayed that the believers would have eyes to see and ears to hear, that our understanding would be enlightened, our eyes would be opened. But it talks about the ministry of the Holy Spirit and how vital he is, and that's the problem. There are some places you go, you just can't talk about the Holy Spirit. Someone privately came to me last week and told me about their interest in being a member of one of the local churches, and I'm going to limit it to 25 miles, so I don't just pick one. And they said, but before you can become a member, you're going to have to renounce anything about the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues. We can't have that here. It's too controversial. And besides that, speaking in tongues is of the devil. Well, needless to say, they did not join the church. But that's one of the reasons that people are held for lack of knowledge, is because if you're never told about the Holy Spirit, how he interacts, how he ministers to people, how he gives us revelation, how he gives us understanding, there are some things you just know, and nobody told you. You know because the Spirit revealed them to you. It's amazing how it happens on a daily basis, and we can get lulled into, well, that's the way Christian life is. But if you're taught over and over and over again that you can't know the things of the Lord, you can't see the things of the Lord, and yet Jesus died to give us and fulfill over 8,000 promises in the Scriptures, but you're never told how are you ever going to learn them, it's the Spirit that gives you understanding. When you read the Scriptures, it's the Holy Spirit that gives us understanding. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us revelation. Something that's revealed. It's almost like the Word is written in a different dimension. You can look at things in the natural, but the Spirit illuminates it to bring it to a new dimension of reality. And to be able to be here and freely talk about the Spirit, he dwells within each of us. He leads us and guides us in all truth. He's not a fly on the wall, and he's not an it. Did you know that it was the Holy Spirit that after God had his revelation of creation and he spoke it, the Holy Spirit went to work and created? He was just waiting. And that's how he's waiting for each of us. You know, there's a lot of things that we encounter in life Everyone has storms of life. All of us. And the enemy's always trying to, you know, get a little toe in the door. He can outsell a vacuum cleaner salesman. If you give him a little bit of cord, he'll do it. But to know that when you pray, the answer that comes back is the Holy Spirit. It's almost like he's bringing the answer to your prayers back to you. And you don't have to yell, you don't have to holler, and carry on. God's not deaf, even though he's Ancient of Days. And, you know, he knows by the Spirit that dwells in each of us. And he never takes a day off, 24/7. Sometimes the only way he can speak to us is through a dream or a vision when we're sleeping, because some of us don't stop talking long enough to let him. We don't hear him, you know. But don't neglect the Spirit that dwells within each of us. Ephesians and Colossians are two of several of my favorite books in the New Covenant, because Paul wants the believers to know not only who Christ is in them, but who they are in him. And to know that you and I are seated in heavenly places with Christ, far above all powers and principalities and rulers of darkness. When was the last time you heard that? You could turn right to the pages and read it for yourselves. To be spiritually far above. You see, you have to start seeing your life from above stuff instead of from underneath. Like Angie was talking, I almost went in and got my two friends when she was talking. Woe is me. I'm always the first one to lose a job. And Chica goes, have you prayed? Did you know God answers prayer? And you know, there's such a contrast, and I love these two little critters. And they sit on my desk, and sometimes it's months before I go in and get them out. Because sometimes you just need to say what you're saying. You need to see what you're saying. And I was so glad you said that, Angie, because she's not the only one that's ever thought that way about life. And Eeyore always would bring that out. But Tigger, he's kind of, you know, he just bops around like, yeah, praise the Lord, you know, God is good. Eeyore don't see that stuff. He sees all the negative. He only sees what the devil does. And he sows discouragement. He sows doubt. He sows unbelief. Well, you know what you did last week. I don't think you better ask God for that, because you know what you did last week. No, I don't. Jesus forgot it. It's under the blood. And you don't need to remind me. But it's about the Spirit and how freely he works in our lives. And sometimes, I mean, two people got saved. Two testimonies this morning of salvation. That is the greatest miracle that there ever could be. When someone's heart has been changed and a new heart is given and God puts his Spirit within that person, that's the greatest miracle. If that person died today, instantly they'd be with the Lord. To be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. And a lot of other neat things that you guys talked about this morning. They're not earth-shattering to people that are looking for all the lights and all the huge beaming miracles all over the world. But it shows you that the Spirit is working in everyday life, and he cares about the everyday things of life. He cares about you and what's going on with you and your family. So don't ever diminish the facts of the Scripture. You know, Peggy, when you said that Roger began to come to his senses a little bit. See, he hadn't seen these things before. And here the Lord is now working in his life and revealing, you know, if this isn't a godly relationship, then I need to be out of it and have no part of that. Well, it's the Spirit that's doing those things. Yep, it's leaving the frosting off the cake. That's a good word. If you don't include him, well, cake is good, but cake with frosting's better. And then you might even be blessed to have some ice cream to go with that. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knows no man but the spirit of God. Now, say now, we have received, past tense, that means you got something, okay? You have received, we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And this is one of the reasons that we have to remember that when we're talking with unsaved people, because they only have the natural man of understanding. That's all they know. They can't understand the things of the Lord. But he that is spiritual judges all things. Notice it didn't say he judges all persons. It says he judges all things. He observes things, and he makes a judgment about them as to whether they're spiritual, whether they're true, whether they're wrong. But he does not judge a person. Yet he himself is judged of no man, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, we have the ability to understand what the Spirit is saying to the church. You know, we've been quite a few weeks now in the seven I Ams that Jesus said that he is. Because he said, I am. He didn't say, I was, or I'm going to be. He said, I am. Today, briefly, I'd like to introduce the next one, where Jesus said that he was the way, the truth, and the life. When I first went to India, I knew that I had studied a little bit to kind of familiarize myself with the belief system in India. I came to realize that in the Hindu faith, there are a minimum of 33 million gods and goddesses. It's true. And I rechecked that just Saturday. And at the minimum, if you look at each one of these, all the way, that's as high almost as a 10-story building. And it has four sides like a pyramid does. And on all four sides, that's just a small sample of all the different gods and goddesses that are worshipped in India in one religion. Can you imagine going there and trying to convince these people that Jesus is the way? I really laughed, and I thought, how am I going to do that? And the Holy Spirit is so creative. He just reminded me about Paul's encounter on Mars Hill of the tomb of the unknown God. And I thought about that. I had 37 hours one way of travel time just to meditate on those things. And it was quite a challenge to think, well, they believe this. To tell them that I wanted to tell them how religious they were and how they don't rob and loot and steal from each other, and cyclones and hurricanes and all kinds of storms, and people, their homes are destroyed, their neighbors don't go in and rip them off and loot and just steal stuff from each other, from their neighbors. And I complimented them on that truth, and said, you have so many gods and goddesses, and you have a wonderful faith system. And that got their ear listening. And I said, but there's one God who's above all of these gods, and this God you can know through his son Jesus Christ, and that opened the door for 14 trips to India, and still welcome in these people's homes. Even though they got marks on their forehead, some of them, and little things that they do, or piercings, body piercings, mostly the ears, but it was such a blessing to be able to just let the Lord take what he told me to say and say it, and let him take care of the things that needed to be done. You're going to find this in John chapter 14, the first 9 verses. You remember all of these 7 I Am's are in the Gospel of John. So this is John 14. And in the chronological layout of the Gospel of John, he's preparing his disciples for his soon departure. And they were very concerned when he began talking about that, Lord, we followed you for 3 years. What are we going to do? Where are we going to go? And they began almost to get sorrowful in the fact that they weren't going to see him anymore, and all the things that he taught them, and how he had empowered them, all the miracles they saw. And they didn't even have the Holy Spirit yet. They weren't born again yet. And Jesus says, go. Preach the gospel in my name. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Cast out devils. Raise the dead. All of these things, Jesus shared his ministry with these guys. Now he's telling them he's going to leave. And they're wondering, where's he going? So Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. That's a good word for somebody today. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't look at the way it is today. It's subject to change. But he said, you believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And where I go, you know, and the way, you know. But I got to stop there because an interesting conversation with Eva came up this week about these verses of Scripture. She said, they told me I only had 2 weeks to live, but I don't feel like I'm dying. And she said, I don't understand that. And I said, well, remember when Jesus told us that in the Father's house there were many mansions and that he's gone to prepare a place for you? And she said, yes. And I said, well, they got some new zoning regulations under a new administration and they just don't have your mansion ready yet. So you got to hang around a while until they reach this political conclusion that the toilet's got to be, 12 inches away from the wall and the drapes have got to be so, And she just started cracking up. It was so funny to hear her laugh because it was such a serious conversation. And she said, why am I still here? I says, well, he doesn't have your mansion ready yet. There's some tweaking to do. So enjoy your life. And this is after she'd gone to Maine with you. So we were talking. And it was so beautiful because when Jesus said, don't let your heart be troubled, for a person who knows, it's like they've been given the verdict, if you will, that their time is short. Some people don't get that privilege. She's a very privileged woman. And she knows that. And so she's given me all of her plans, what she wants and everything. And it's really kind of cool that she's around to be able to do that and that she trusts us to carry it on because I'll have some helpers. But that we don't trouble our hearts about our future. God's got it. He's got our back. Amen. But he was very specific. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going, and how can we know the way? And Jesus said in verse 6, the verse that is so powerful, he said, I am the way. Now, when you look at that pyramid of all those gods and goddesses, and you tell somebody what Jesus said, I am the way, singular. I am the truth, not a part of the truth, but the truth and the life. You can't separate life from him. He is the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me. Now, I've got a few people ticked off about that scripture. It's been one of my all-time favorites for many years. And the reason I like it is because I can duck undercover after I've said it. I said, don't get upset at me. I'm just reading what Jesus said. If you got a problem, go ask him if he's the way. You ask him if he's the truth. You ask him if he's the life. I double dog dare you to go ask him. And I know he will give you the same answer as he gave his disciples. And where I'm going, you know the way, you know the truth, and you know this. You know it, you know it, you know it. And how do they know? Because the revelation of the Spirit again clearly distinguishes Jesus from any other cult, from any religion, from any other faith practices. He is the singular way to heaven. And I talked about this at Vinny's memorial service the other day. We were just talking about this verse, and someone was there I didn't know. So right away I went on a fishing expedition. And I said, this thing about I am the way. And I said, if you have email on a computer, you have to have a password to access your email. So I says, if you want to know how to access the kingdom of God, you got to have a password. And the password is Jesus. You have to use the name of Jesus to access heaven. Even when we pray, Jesus taught us to pray in my name. You shall do these things. The password is Jesus. It isn't Buddha. It isn't Mohammed. It isn't Confucius. It isn't Plato, or plate for short, because he just laid there and just... He offered, you know, these great philosophers all have their philosophies about life. But when Jesus said, I am the way, oh man, all of hell comes to attention when he says that, because they know. All the demons know that Jesus is the way. And they don't like it when you start telling people about Jesus, because they know they're only here for a short time. So Thomas had to ask that question, because Thomas is like a lot of us. You got to show me before I'll believe it. And Jesus basically said, you've been looking at it for 3 years. You just didn't recognize it. Look at all the parables I taught you. The kingdom of heaven. If you want to have access, you're only going to get it through me. I'm the one the Father sent. In fact, the truth of the matter is I'm God in an earth suit. Sunday school kids understand that. So we go a little further. He's not done convincing them yet. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. And from now on, you know him and have seen him. I've often told people, if you really want to know what God is like, study the Gospels, and particularly the Gospel of John. If you want to see the Father, you study Jesus, because Jesus and the Father are one. And Jesus said that he is in the Father and the Father in him. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father. Oh, that'll be enough. Just show us the Father. Don't just tell us about him. Show him to us. Jesus said, Philip, ding-a-ling, duh, have I been with you all this time and you still don't get it? You've still not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? See, that's why people get angry even here in our country. Oh, a lot of people talk about God. There's God in every religion, at least one. But there's only one Jesus. And people think all ways lead to the cross. No, not really. They try to take a shortcut. They try to short-circuit the truth of the gospel. And I know, because when some of my hippy-dippy rock and roller friends in Bellas Falls got saved And they started playing Jesus music. Dude, that's enough of that. I ain't getting around you guys anymore. Because it was the name of Jesus. The spirit of this world, which is really the spirit of Antichrist that we're born with, we just got to fess up and come to realize that's why moms and dads had to teach us how to do right, because we already were born knowing how to do wrong. It's just the truth. And I love being here because we can just be real about this stuff and be honest with each other. That's why there's no games here. There's no clicks here. We all track through the Word together. We read it together. We study it together. We pray it together. And we invite the Holy Spirit to teach us and help us to understand these truths so that it's not a secret and that we're well equipped for the person who comes along and asks you a question. Are we not called to be ready in season and out to answer those who come to us? These are wonderful tools that we have. And here the disciples were. It was like God was right with them all the time, but they didn't recognize him because they were looking at Jesus in the flesh, Jesus, Joseph's son, the one that made the coffee table I put my feet on last week. And they looked at him in the natural, not realizing who he really was. John the Baptist recognized him. He said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." All the prophets knew who he was. And then the Holy Spirit came and revealed who he was. So this is another one of those in the seven. This is the sixth one. The next one is going to be, "I am the true vine." And I'm just going to whet your appetite. Go back and read that. That's in John chapter 15. And there's some key things I'd like to plant in your thinking. If there's a true vine, then there has to be a what? A false vine. You need to take a look at what the false vine might be. And look at the branches, because he's going to talk about the branches and the pruning process. So that's where we're going next week, hopefully. It is. When you study all of these out, you really see the... I don't know. John is the only one that talked about these. But each of the four that the Lord used to write these Gospels, each one had a different perspective, but John really focused in, and he had such a revelation of the love of God. He wanted that love, and he also in John's Gospel, every once in a while he'd throw a little dig in at his fellow disciples and say, "Oh, the disciple whom the Lord loved." You know, he wanted to make it known that he knew he was loved, and he was, and so were you, because God is no respecter of persons. So if nobody tells you today that they love you, I tell you that I love you. But Jesus loves you even more than I could possibly imagine. So as we maybe close with prayer, anyone that needs prayer, but also don't forget, this is also our monthly fellowship dinner downstairs, because it's always on Mission Sunday. We do both. We nourish ourselves on the Word here, and then we go downstairs and have a nice dinner. And if you forgot or you didn't plan on it, please stay if you can. A lot of goodies down there.